tuning into the news, you may or may not have heard yet that Canadian actor Donald Sutherland has died. This according to his son and actor Kiefer Sutherland announcing on X that 88-year-old Donald Sutherland died today. Kiefer writing, "With a heavy heart, I tell you that my father, Donald Sutherland, has passed away. I personally think one of the most important actors in the history of film, never daunted by a role, good, bad, or ugly. He loved what he did what he loved, and one can never ask for more than that, a life well lived." And Kiefer Sutherland sharing a really beautiful photo of the two of them from, it appears to be from when Kiefer Sutherland was probably about 2 years old, with his father Donald Sutherland's chin resting on his shoulder. Just an absolutely beautiful photo. And, you know, Kiefer Sutherland, I was just chatting with our board op Brett off air. This guy's filmography is quite extensive. Most recently, of course, he was, Snow, President Snow, is that what it was? In the Hunger Games? Hunger Games, President Snow, in Kelly's Heroes going back to 1970, MASH, Pride and Prejudice, Forsaken, The Italian Job, Space Cowboys, The Dirty Dozen. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And maybe if we have time at the end of the show, or you guys can start texting me right now, 1-877-332-8255. I would love to hear what your favorite Donald Sutherland role is, because, wow, there are a few other Canadian actors who have got the credentials that this guy has got. And I'll also say, actually, the first thing that comes to mind for me when I think about Donald Sutherland is the connection to Saskatchewan, because he married the daughter of our very own Tommy Douglas, the father of publicly funded healthcare, not only in this province, but in this country. Together, they had a son, Kiefer Sutherland, who is the grandfather, or the grandson, obviously, of the father of healthcare. But man, Donald Sutherland, a giant in the film industry here in Canada and really around the world. So if you've got something you'd like to share, send us a text message, 1-877-332-8255. Maybe I'll have time to take a few calls at the end of the show. But first, we are heading to the University of Alberta because really interesting collaboration going on when it comes to looking at how, like, if ever there was a conundrum, we need to cut down on our greenhouse gas emissions, but at the same time, we need to ramp up our mining to be able to do that. And mining is something that obviously has historically not been the greatest on our environment. So there's some interesting research happening out of the University of Alberta, and I'm going to bring our next guest into the conversation now. Her name is Sasha Wilson. She is a principal investigator at the University of Alberta's Environmental Economic Geology Laboratory. First, Sasha, thanks for taking the time. Welcome to the Evan Bray Show.
Thanks very much for having me on your show today.
Of course. So, Sasha, there's some really interesting research happening by scientists from your lab at the University of Alberta and the University of Bern in Switzerland as you're trying to figure out how to grow the mining industry while keeping carbon emissions low. And there's a Saskatchewan connection here, of course, because you've been doing this all with the help of the Canadian Light Source at the University of Saskatchewan. So tell me about this work, Sasha. What is happening? How do we keep carbon emissions low while ramping up mining?
It's definitely a sticky question. And
I like the sticky question, Sasha.
I'd like to highlight that this work was led by a PhD student, Colton Vesey, who was an undergrad at the University of Saskatchewan and did his master's there as well. So he's had a lot of years working at the Canadian Light Source. So it was good to have that connection so that we could go back to continue our work there.
I just love hearing about these collaborations, period. In the last segment, I don't know if you heard it, Sasha, but I was speaking with somebody about ag tech in this province and how there's so many interesting collaborations going on between bright minds here in the prairies of Canada and bright minds around the world. Everybody's sort of working together on this stuff. So I was really interested to see that you guys have partnered with the University of Bern in Switzerland. Why don't we, before we get into this research, tell me, how did that come about? How do you guys start working with researchers in Switzerland?
It's a small world, Canadian expertise spreading around the globe. So my longtime collaborator, Anna Harrison, is a professor at the University of Bern. And so we've been looking at how mineral wastes that are generated by mining in Canada and elsewhere can be used to scrub CO2 out of the atmosphere and bind it into rocks. And so it was an interesting collaboration on this project with
Anna. And you were mentioning to me off air that Anna Harrison was actually one of Colton Vesey's co-supervisors at the University of Saskatchewan. Is that right?
That's right. So we do Zoom meetings between Switzerland and Canada.
Oh gosh, I can only imagine what time those meetings must happen, especially for you. I mean, you're on the same time zone as we are right now, but I imagine there's many times throughout the year it's hard to talk. Okay, so let's talk about this research then. Tell me more about what you were looking into and what you have found about, you were mentioning the certain mining wastes that you might be able to trap and store CO2 using a mineral found in certain mining wastes. What are we talking about there?
There's one mineral in particular. That it's called brucite. It's named after a person who is named Bruce. Mm-hmm. And we just add ite to the end.
Because that's what you do with minerals, right?
Basically, yeah.
So if I ever had a mineral, I would be Tamaraite and you would be Sashaite. I'm assuming those don't exist yet.
It.
Okay, go ahead on brucite.
So brucite is a magnesium-bearing mineral. So it's mostly made out of magnesium, and it's extremely reactive with carbon dioxide. So if you had a jar full of this brucite as a powder, it would react with humid air, and it would turn into a magnesium carbonate mineral. Hmm. So something like an antacid or what the Rocky Mountains are made out of. Without any help, it just really wants to react with carbon dioxide. And so there are a number of different types of commodities that are mined in Canada, such as nickel in particular, and also chromium and platinum group elements. So some of these are really important elements for sustainable energy, like producing hydrogen and utilizing hydrogen, but also for making lithium ion batteries.
Mm.
And so this brucite has just been considered a waste product of mining for a long time. But now that we're thinking about having to make the mining industry carbon neutral or carbon negative, we're starting to see it as a really important resource, something else that we mine and we can utilize.
So how did your minds turn to turn to that then, Sasha? I'm speaking with Sasha Wilson at the University of Alberta. How did your minds turn to that and start looking at this waste differently? Is it just the pressure that we're living under right now of getting to that, you know, zero emissions or carbon neutral, and you just started looking around and you said, oh, hey, we can do this? Or was there something else that turned your heads that way?
That was basically what happened. A few decades ago, people were looking for any sort of material that contained magnesium or calcium in large abundances, because those are the best chemical elements for binding carbon dioxide. And so the only industries that really produce magnesium and calcium materials in huge abundances are mining and also cement and concrete.
Okay, I want to continue this conversation because I want to ask you coming up after the break, Sasha, how we can take what you've learned and actually apply it to the mines, and whether that's happening now. If it's not, how far down the road might it be? I'm going to put that question to you coming up after the break. I am Tamara Cherry, filling in for Evan Bray on The Evan Bray Show, 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All right, welcome back to the show. I am Tamara Cherry, filling in for Evan Bray. And if you're just joining us, my guest this last half hour of the show is Sasha Wilson, who is a principal investigator at the University of Alberta's Environmental Economic Geology Laboratory. And Sasha, you were just telling me about, you know, how the pressure to become carbon neutral has sort of forced researchers really around the world. In this case, you guys are collaborating with researchers in Switzerland, with people here in Saskatchewan at the Canadian Light Source at the University of Saskatchewan, to think differently about stuff that has really been in front of you for many, many years. But you're learning how to trap and store CO2, carbon dioxide, using a mineral found in certain mining waste. So I just want to pick up the conversation by asking you, Sasha, how is this being actually applied yet? Is this work actually being done at any mines in Saskatchewan, Alberta, Canada, around the world? Is there an actual application to this yet?
There is. There's been a growing network of people who've been working on this problem for the last 20 years or so. And around the world, I believe all of the world's major mining companies have divisions that are looking into implementing this technology of using mineral wastes to bind carbon dioxide and trap it in a newly formed rock. So it's something that is on the cusp of implementation. And the best places in Canada that have mines that make this contain these minerals that are reactive to carbon dioxide are mostly in British Columbia and the Yukon, and in Ontario and Quebec and Manitoba and Newfoundland. So
you've named a lot of places in Canada, but not Saskatchewan there. Sasha, why not?
Or Alberta.
Or Alberta. Well, so where this research is happening in Saskatchewan, Alberta, why isn't this being put to practical use in these places, do you think?
It has to do with what kind of rocks we have. The rocks we have in Saskatchewan and Alberta are perfect for injecting carbon dioxide underground, where it's trapped in all these tiny little pore spaces, little empty spaces in the rocks beneath the ground, kilometers at depth. So we have the easiest rocks in the world to use to trap carbon dioxide. So we're really lucky here.
But other
places like British Columbia, they don't have the same kind of rocks that have those little spaces that can hold the gas for millions of years underground. Instead, we have to use reactive rocks at the surface to bind carbon dioxide.
So the work you guys are doing in Alberta, Saskatchewan, and yes, along with some of your researcher pals over at the University of Bern in Switzerland, it's not even necessarily to benefit the provinces that you're living in, but this is stuff that will benefit around the world. So tell me then, because you mentioned that there's been researchers around the world for the last two decades working on this stuff. What is it that's different about what you guys are doing right now that is moving this conversation and this work forward?
Right. There was an interesting problem with looking at this mineral brucite that's mostly made out of magnesium and can trap carbon dioxide really well. People would tend to assume that it was completely pure magnesium, but this mineral brucite can contain 50% magnesium, 50% iron, and we had no idea whether we could use the iron to bind carbon dioxide or not. So it could be that we only got 50% as much CO2 sequestration, and people wouldn't even have noticed until it was too late. And they measured how much CO2 they trapped, and it was like, uh-oh, it's 50% of what we expected. So as part of this collaboration, what we did together was made brucite. We cooked it up in the lab, just like you would do cooking on the stove at home, and made different combinations that had different amounts of magnesium and iron, and had a look at what kind of environmental conditions we could use to maximize how much carbon dioxide was being trapped, and see whether we could make that iron work for us and get it to trap carbon dioxide, which people hadn't tried to do before. And so what we found was that when we made this iron brucite in air, it ended up being bright green. So the iron makes it green. It's usually kind of boring and looks like a white powder, like baking soda. Mm. And so when we made it react with carbon dioxide in oxygen, just in laboratory air, all the iron turned into rust. Ooh. The magnesium trapped carbon dioxide like we thought it would, but it was just like rust, like on the bottom of your car or on your bicycle. So all the iron was wasted. And we only got like 50% carbon dioxide storage. But when we took the same bright green brucite and reacted it in a giant bag that didn't have any oxygen in it, we were able to use all of the iron to carbonate, to trap carbon dioxide.
The moral of the story, Sasha, I have to end it here because we're coming up against the break. Green is the color. Football is the game. All right, go Riders, go. Sasha Wilson, this is all fascinating. I'm sorry to cut it short, but this is the end of the show for the Evan Bray Show. I am Tamara Cherry. I'll be back in this chair tomorrow, TGIF. Big thanks to Sasha Wilson at the University of Alberta. Big thanks to all of our guests, all of our board ops today, of which there have been many, Frank and Brett, and of course to you listeners who have made this so enjoyable today. You're listening to 980 CGME and 650 CKOM.